We're back to the Neil Haley Show. My co-host today is again David Hollenbeck of Hollenbeck Leadership. David, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guests.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Thanks for
all
having me.
All right. So we got, again, Frank DeVille. We talked to him before part two. And Liso, again, we all know him from The Wire. And they are, got a great song if you check out part one. But let's just jump right into it, Frank. You know, thinking about specific music and all this stuff and collaboration, what have you learned from Liso kind of doing this kind of back and forth from working together in the song and stuff? What do you learn?
What have I learned from him?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a lot. No, you know, seriously, it's, we might've touched on it last week, but you know, anytime, you know, I always like to, people can always bring something new to the team, you know, a new fresh set of ears. He's a really talented guy. He's got this rap, this flow, like sing rap kind of thing. So it really works well with this song. So it brings a lot of that, you know, element. You know, we actually are both East Coast guys, but he's from
Maryland.
Yeah, I'm from Philly. So we got the East Coast thing, you know, going on. So there's a lot that it's hard to say exactly what those things are, but you know, when I'm working with people in out here in LA and people are, there's a lot of people who come out here, you know, to live the dream. So they bring with them their cultural, their societal kind of things, you know, their tastes in music. And so, you know, it brings a lot to the table.
All right. Yeah. Now, David's the music guy. I'm the sports guy. As I, we just had two sports ones. He likes sports, as we've had some amazing, major celebrities. Think about it in 1 hour, David. But go ahead, David, with your questions for these guys.
I'm curious about, you know, how the family of funk came together.
yes. Well, you know, a couple of us have been friends. Wayman is one of my closest friends. We have the same birthday. Wayman plays keys. We were in, not at the same time, but we were both, Wayman was an original Gap Band member, you know, that Charlie Wilson and Snoop Dogg. And I, of course, I toured with the Gap Band the very last round, 2016, 2017. So I, you know, had was a side artist, you know, guitarist, and also did some producing, in a lot of producing in the past. And so when the pandemic, you know, came around, you know, I was listening to some old tracks that one of my old writing producing partners had, you know, we had placed with a YouTube channel. And Mia, one of our singers, you know, started singing some of the, you know, top lining some of the, to the track. And I was like, wow, that's really dope. And so we just kind of, it kind of just came together very organically, you know, and Wayman came up with the name, The Family of Funk. He's like, he always comes up with these little, like we have a bass player and he named him Dr. Slap. And, you know, it's just, you know, and when you're working with different, about, you know, back again to what people bring to the table, sometimes people look at you like, they bring like their own unique thing, like working with certain like R&B and hip hop cultures out in LA, they all have nicknames for each other. That's where my name, Mr. DeVille, came from. And they don't even, maybe they don't even know what my real name is. I don't know, but they just call me, you know, Mr. DeVille. So it's just kind of, these kind of things just came along organically. And Wayman obviously came up with the Family of Funk, and we started putting the band together, and we had a couple other different members. But once we started developing the sound, we kind of went with I always liked a gospel type of drummer, so we got a real great, you know, drummer with like a lot of gospel chops. We got Dr. Slap, who comes from a completely different, you know, he's Israeli, and but he's got a great funk, you know, feel on the bass, like so that's kind of how it happened. We're basically a young band, but we have a lot of history with all of our members. Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we talk about specific things, Frank, about what you've been doing and all the different things with the music. What have you learned from the artists that you produce for that have added maybe some of that to the to your group? Have you learned some things from working with these other artists that in your songwriting and things like that that you add to some of the mix of what you're doing now?
Yes, absolutely. You know, years ago, Well, I have two mentors, and one of them worked in A&R at Warner Brothers, and he said, Frank, if you want to be on the radio, you listen to the radio, you know. And when I came out here from Philly, I came more from a little bit of a rock background, a little bit of, you know, disco and hip hop and things like that. And so when you're working on other people's records, you normally, you know, it's we worked, when I say we, the team that I was working with, we worked sometimes 16, 18 hours a day perfecting our craft, working, you know, specifically for, you know, major labels, two major production teams. And so you learn a lot about the business. When we put the Family of Funk together, we came with a business mindset. We didn't just put the band together to go out and do a bunch of shows. We came together specifically for a business mindset, coming up with a brand, a sellable, marketable brand, a marketable sound, marketable image, you know, because all those things are really very valuable. When I moved out here, I had some, you know, experience in, I studied classical and jazz, but I didn't really know much about the business. So working in the business gave me a lot of insight into how to take a band and make it successful, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it totally does. Good, David.
Well, you mentioned you've got a background in jazz.
Well, I studied jazz, yes.
What jazz artist had the most influence on your style?
Well, so when I studied classical and jazz, I wanted just to learn the idiom. Great players of that day were studying, you know, classical, and my jazz guy that I studied with, Joe Federico, was like strictly, like nothing else existed but jazz. But he was one of the original guys that transcribed Paganini for a lot of these rock guys that were out here. But I'm going to tell you some, you know, like the genius of somebody like Django Reinhardt from the 40s, you know, and he was that gypsy guitar player. He played all that real fast stuff with just two fingers. And, you know, I just probably him the most, you know, I love, you know, I still read music out of the real book, you know, do some standards like Ciora or, you know, which is trumpet, you know, or just music by Herb Albert, you know, it's not, I don't know whether that's really jazz, but it's just, it's pop maybe with a jazz feel, and, or like doing songs like Donna Lee, all those kind of standards. I love the bebop feel. Yeah.
That's great. Now, Lisa, let's talk about specifically The Wire. I want to get to The Wire because that's why part two. Let's get to The Wire and that experience. Now, Frank, were you a fan of The Wire when he was on it?
I yes, but years ago, I don't even, when was that out?
It was back, it's in Baltimore. We shot it in Baltimore. This was back in like 2003, 2004. I didn't get on there until like 2006, 2005, I want to say though.
So tell us that kind of, yeah, go.
Yeah, I owned somebody. I think I have the whole series, and I watched it from beginning to end way before I met this kid. Way before I met this dude.
So tell us the experience. Yeah. So you were a fan. So I'm asking more about your experience on it. Tell us about how that worked and how did that happen? You get on the show.
So at the time, I had just moved with my parents from Massachusetts to Maryland. We met a woman who's still based in the area called Linda Townsend Management, very well known in the area, and in the industry. And I worked with her for a long time. She basically groomed me, when going on auditions, teaching me, you know, proper etiquette, things to do, different techniques and things like that. Eventually I wound up getting the audition for The Wire, and I was all the way in Baltimore, which was an hour away. So I had to take off from school. My mom, you know, had to come pick me up in the middle of class to go take me. And beforehand, my dad was telling me how important it was and, you know, what kind of show it was. So they kind of gave me a breakdown. They sat me down, you know, we watched the show. Obviously I'm 10 years old watching this rated MA TV show. So I'm just sitting here like, oh my God, like, you know what I'm saying? So went to the audition. You know, the writer Ed Burns was in the room along with Pat Moran, the casting director, and it just went really well. By the time I got back home, they were calling us, letting us know we got the part. So that's how I got to be on it.
So what kind of role did you have on it?
I played the role of Kennard. He was basically part of Marlo Stanfield's crew, but as a you know, one of the youngest members. And, you know, I was just a bad mouth kid, you know, causing mischief, cussing people out. And
just like that. Not.
I'm not like that in real life.
No, actually, yeah.
But yeah, I'm what I'm most notable for. I don't know if, you know, if you guys haven't watched the show, for anybody listening that, you know, if you haven't watched it or if you're watching it now, sorry, spoiler alert, you might not want to listen, but I'm most notably known for shooting Omar in the drugstore in the last season, probably the most loved and most known character from the show. Rest in peace, Michael K. Williams, my big brother. And yeah. So, yes.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead, David, your question.
I'm curious about the concept of early in the morning and how, Frank, how did you come up with that?
Well, okay, so, you know, when I was with the Gap Band, we, you know, all those great songs, Early in the Morning, You Dropped a Bomb on Me, you know, Yearning for Your Love, outstanding. We just, I loved playing those songs. And, you know, when we put the band together, we have, you know, a lot of original material, but also, you know, doing remakes or covers, you know, can really be advantageous. You know, there's a saying, you know, covers create crowds. People hear something that they like. A song like that is absolutely timeless. And we actually have been working on it for a while, developing that sound. You know, we had worked, you know, with some other teams, but it ended up kind of being like a throwback kind of sound. And again, when we're looking for something in the pop world or to be on terrestrial radio or for something to be significant, you have to look at what's current now, you know. And so, again, my longtime writing and producing partner, Lamar Van Skyver, who's also one of my dear friends, we went in the studio and you know, cut the songs. We brought the band in, we brought the singers in, couple of the other musicians, and we just, you know, made a funk disco pop version geared to like the 20 mid-20s to 40-year-olds, you know. And so that's really where it's at right now. You know, TikTok videos, people are looking at a video or listening to a song for around 2 minutes, so it's got to hit them hard, it's got to let that beat, and that's what's happening right now. So that's what we did. We geared it strictly for that with, you know, merchandising, marketing plan. We have a strong, you know, PR team, great management team, Jeff Arcio, creative crew, who also manages Liso and our PR, Ruth Davis. They're all really excited about it. So some of these things actually, you know, being in the band, being, again, I sing and play guitar, and we have two female leads, a real strong female. But then there's so much of the business is handled by creative crew and by Ruth Davis that, you know, behind the scenes to kind of market it. So it's a great song. People are really just loving our version of the track, and it kind of does. There's some similarities, but also it's very now. It's very radio.
So what is your goal, you two, for your song? What do you where do you want to see it go?
I'm trying to see it go crazy. I mean, I like, you know, I don't know if we had mentioned this before with the remix competition and everything. Even that, I'm excited for to see what other people wind up doing with it. You know, taking the song and making it their own, or, you know, making us hear a part or making us hear something that we didn't hear before from the original. So I hope it goes crazy. I hope it's something that everybody's playing. I think it's going to be dope when people listen to it. I think they're going to enjoy it big time, and it's going to make them dance for sure.
Yeah, it will. That's right. You know, this remix contest, we're really excited about it because we have some international DJs, international remixers, you know, people from other countries. Again, when you're collaborating, they bring something that you might not, a different direction you might not hear. And with new kind of remixing tools, techniques, that could be, you know, younger, older. And so we're really excited about that. We've got major radio stations committed to playing it. We have, like I said, the marketing team that, you know, when you have a good musical product, a marketing team can support that. If you don't have a good music, it all comes down to the musical product.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah, we're really stoked about it.
Such great stuff. Best place people can connect with you guys. Go where?
For me, you can find me on Instagram, and I'm on Threads too. It's THU.LISO. And yeah, you can follow me there and find me there.
Mm-hmm. So yes, we're thefamilyoffunk.net, thefamilyoffunk.com. We're Facebook, The Family of Funk. We're The Family of Funk, Instagram. And also my own, you know, personal EPK is frankdevillegreenfield.com. That's pretty much everything I've done for the past 20 years. It's all just, you know, boring, blah, blah, blah stuff. But that's where you can find.
All right. We appreciate it, guys. Again, great part two. Appreciate you guys. And you're listening and watching the
Thank
new
you.
Show. And we'll be back in just a moment.